he ran Limbaugh. No, he. I appreciate their ministry, and they had a great church in Florida. They're in Niceville, and I preached in it several times, and they did a great work there. You know, it's one thing that I notice is missing in most of the churches we go into today, and that is the joy of the Lord. Most churches that we go into, it's like there's this cloud over the church. It's like there's no hope. I mean, people look more like they're at a funeral service than in a revival meeting. And it's because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's what, you know, Brother Hammond, his Jeremiah going to be here tomorrow night? Jeremiah, his boy, I mean, he loves God, and I mean, he's got the joy of the Lord. And that's, you know, it's such a good thing. It's an encouragement to people. You know, when families come into the church, you don't want them saying, I think everybody in here has got the flu. But the joy of the Lord is something that is missing. And again, I think it's because we need a touch of revival. Now, revival is not for the lost. The lost are dead in their sin. But revival is for those of us that are saved, and things happen to us that we lose our joy from time to time. And we need to understand, well, I believe the key to keeping the joy of the Lord, the key that unlocks the lock of depression, discouragement, I think it's right here in Psalm chapter 42. Be real honest with you. I read through this. Betty and I was having devotions a while back, and we read through this, and we got done. There's only, 11 verses. We got done reading, and I said, wait a minute. I just saw something. You know, did you ever read the Bible and something just like leaped off the pages and grabbed a hold of you? I mean, how did this happen? I read through, and I said, wait. And I went back. I said, somewhere I just read something that really caught my eye, and I read back through it a couple times, and I finally found it. But Psalm chapter 42. Let's go ahead and pray before we begin tonight. Father, I pray you'd bless now the preaching of your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would remove me from the scene, and Lord, that you would be seen. And I just ask you to do the work that only you can do tonight. Lord, we all need encouragement tonight. We all need a touch of revival, including me, starting with me. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd do the work that only you can do. Please bless, have your will and way, I pray. And then bless Brother Lev as he comes to preach. And Lord, I pray we'd be obedient to you tonight and whatever it is you deal with us about. Now I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist here, I believe he's like most people here. He says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. I believe that most everyone here tonight would say the same thing. Verse number 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, and they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember thee, these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. But in the very next verse, verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. You see, the joy that he had, all this peace that he had, is now gone. It's gone. Look at verse number 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Verse number 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves, thy billows, are gone over me. Look over at verse number 9. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Did you ever feel like God actually forgot you? God doesn't know where you are. God doesn't have a clue what's going on in your life. If he did, he would fix it for me. This is where the psalmist was. It says there in verse number 11 again, why art thou cast down on my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Now listen, verse number 8 is the key. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. The God of my life, this is in the Bible one time. I don't ever remember reading the God of my life. I don't ever remember seeing it. I don't remember ever hearing a sermon on it. The God of my life. You say, what means a lot of these other things? Listen, when you know, as I studied on this, let me just ask you a question tonight. Is Jesus the God of your life tonight? Was Jesus the God of your life today? You say, well, Brother Roach, Jesus is the God of my salvation. I didn't ask you, is he the God of your salvation? I said, is Jesus the God of your life? Jesus can be the God of your salvation, but he's not the God of your life. Listen, can people be unfaithful to the church and still go to heaven? They got saved. Now, Jesus said, you must be born again. And if you've never been born again, hell will be your home. But when you trust Christ, I had a Nazarene preacher ask me, he said, do you think you could go to church and get saved and then leave the church and go to the dance hall and drink beer and still be saved? I said, no, I don't think you could. But that's what that verse that they showed me, first time I ever set foot in a Baptist church, John 10:28. And I said, according to John 10:28, you could, that's possible. And listen, it is, when you get saved, you're saved forever. Jesus said he would give us eternal life and we will never perish. If you will trust Christ, he will make you a new creature, and old things all of a sudden are passed away. All things are become new. In Psalm 18:46, the Bible says, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Psalm 25:5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee I will wait all the day. Now this is all through the Bible. It talks about the God of my salvation. The Bible talks about the God of Shem, the God of heaven, the God of earth, the God of Abraham, God of my fathers, God of Bethel, God of Nahor, God of Jacob, God of Isaac, God of Hebrews, God of Israel, God of judgment, God of the living, God of the Jews, God of hope, God of peace, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, God of things seen as not seen as yet, God of the holy prophets, and on it goes with that little phrase, God of all these things. Matter of fact, as well as I can, what I've learned, that phrase God of appears 2,739 times. 2,739 times. God of my life, one time. I think God of my life. I mean, that thought maybe crossed through my mind, but I never saw it in the Bible. And I've read through Psalms hundreds of times. And we read it the other day, and I said, wait a minute, Betty, wait. I just saw something that just stuck. It was that little phrase, God of my life. See, what I need is I need Jesus Christ to be the God of my life. Day and night, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I want Jesus Christ to be God of my life. You know why there's a lot of people that are not here tonight that got saved in this church? Because Jesus Christ is not the God of their life. Now, hopefully they've gotten things right and are in other churches. But the God of my life. Now, you know, we hear of the law of first mention. And the law of first mention, the first time a verse is mentioned, last night, I believe God. Brother Lev preached on, I believe God. Well, you go back to the first time that was mentioned, And there's a purpose for that.
Well, when it's the law of first mention, and it's only there one time, it's not the first mention, it's the only mention. There's some very important emphasis here. And I believe tonight it will help us if we can just get a hold of this truth. Now many of you I've known for years, and you've served and loved the Lord. But tonight, maybe this will just help us and draw us a little closer, and maybe just pull us through some dark spots. You know, we all get discouraged. We all get down. We all think, you know, things aren't working the way they should. But the truth is, Jesus is not the God of our life all the time. You know, Jesus is the God of my life. Right here he is. He's my God. He's the God of my life. Everything about me is in control. But so many times, I get away from him. He's still my God. He is the God of my salvation. But he's not the God of my life all the time. I'm a sinner. I carry a sin nature with me. And my sin nature draws me away. And when I'm drawn away of my own lust, Jesus is not the God of my life. You leave here tonight and you go down to the bar and you drink some beers with the boys and try to be a good witness to them. Listen, the Lord's not the God of your life at that moment. You go try to witness all the drunkards in town and he's the God of your life. And they know that. But when he doesn't stay on the throne of our life all the time. But he wants to. He wants to be God of our life. I mean, when you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, Jesus Christ wants to be the God of your life. He wants you to wake up in the middle of the night thinking about him. I mean, you know, have you ever woke up praying? In a dream, you're praying and then you wake up. I was preaching one time in a dream. And nothing was happening. Nobody was moving. Nobody was moving. I mean, and I'm in my dream, and I'm preaching. And I mean, I'm getting mad. I'm getting mad, and I'm thinking, you're going to go to hell if you don't, you know. And I am getting so upset in my dream, and I just started screaming. And I mean, I'm running around the church, and I'm screaming, you got to get saved. You're going to burn forever. Don't you understand that? And I'm just screaming mad. Young man got under conviction, came, he's on the aisle. He was crying, weeping, he got saved. He got under conviction, he came. Pretty soon this couple came, that couple came, people come around here, and I'm still screaming mad. And when I woke up out of the dream, about everybody in that church got saved. And I thought, I've got to start putting some fire in my sermon. I heard a preacher one time years ago, he said, Brother Roach, put a little fire in your sermon or put your sermon in the fire. But boy, in that dream, I mean, I was screaming, running around that church. I'd run up and down the aisle just begging people to get saved. And can't you hear me? You know, and all of a sudden, people just started getting saved. Now, why was I telling you that? I don't know. But it was a good dream. It was a good dream. I was going somewhere with that, but I done lost my way. The question is Jesus God of your life? Is he the God of your life? Is he the God of your thinking? You know, you think of your life, your body. Is Jesus God of your start to head? Is he the God of your brain, your thinking? Or does he fit in? You know, there's a lot of people, they put Jesus in places where he needs to be. To impress other people. But when you're by yourself, is Jesus God of your thinking? The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Is Jesus still God of your thinking? Is he God of your life? If he's God of your life, he is God of your thinking. He is the God of your thinking. Is Jesus the God of your thinking? Proverbs is a book written as a guide to young people, a guide to old people, and a guide to all between. And listen, the foundation principles is that the right life is not merely a moral life, but a life that is lived for the God of my life. You don't have to talk to me about morals and all this stuff. If Jesus is God of my life, you know, when people sin, they know they're sinning. That's why they try to hide. God's law is written in our hearts. When one of your children, all of a sudden, you find they're sneaking off to do something. They're sneaking off to do something because they know it's wrong. They don't want dad and mom, they don't want to be seen. You know, on this last trip, when I was growing up, I grew up with another boy. We went through all of our a lot of our teen years, Chuck Satterfield. And we got in all kinds of trouble. I mean, we got in all kinds of trouble. My mom would say, "Stanley, you stay away from that Chuck Satterfield. He's bad." Mrs. Satterfield, she'd say, "Chuck, stay away from Stanley Roach. He's no good. He's a troublemaker." And the truth was, we were both troublemakers. We were both rotten to the core. There's nothing good in us. But we didn't know. We didn't know. Now, Larry, somewhere along the way there in the Methodist Church, Larry got saved. And when I finally got saved, you know, I'm talking to Larry, and Larry said, "Oh, yeah, I know that." And I said, "No, Larry, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, but all things become." He said, "Yeah, I know that." "You know about eternal life?" He said, "Yes." "Why didn't you tell me? I mean, I stole the car. I went to his house and picked him up to go for a ride with me in this stolen car. And he knew I was coming." Why? Because he knew nothing about Jesus being God of his life. Now, Chuck, many years ago, Chuck prayed with me to be saved. And he had a hard time understanding, how can you be saved and not live a perfect life? Well, he asked me, he said, how do you live a perfect life? You know, and he said, "I can't do that." I said, "I can't either, Chuck." Anyway, he finally understood salvation. He prayed to get saved. But he never was taught anything, never learned anything about letting Jesus Christ be the God of your life. A couple Sundays or so before we came back, they found Chuck dead in his bed. You know, the supreme folly in life is to live a life without God. Jesus Christ can be the God of your salvation. But it doesn't stop there. He wants to be the God of your life. He wants you to grow up in Him and grow closer to Him. And a lot of times we get sour on things. Somebody in the church looks at us wrong. Somebody talks to us in the wrong tone of voice. You know, somebody's going out to church and you're trying to shake hands and they're just flying right past you and right out the door. And you think, "That idiot, see if I ever try to shake hands with him again." He had to go to the bathroom. He doesn't have time to stop and talk to you. He's got problems. And now you're one of them. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be the God of your life. Is Jesus the God of your thinking? Is Jesus the God of your eyes? Is Jesus the God of your ears? You know, is He your God? He's your God of your salvation, but is He the God of your tongue? You know, our tongue, the Bible says our tongue, it's a world of iniquity. I mean, you can murder someone with your tongue. You can destroy someone with your tongue. You know, I don't have to do anything in the ministry. I don't have to do anything wrong to get in trouble. All I've got to do is get accused of doing something wrong. Because someone says, you know what I saw Pastor McGovern doing the other day? And then you got this doubt. I remember Pastor McGovern was assistant pastor, and Jerry Jordan put some real serious doubt in his mind. Brother Jordan said, Pastor McGovern, he said, I saw Pastor Roach the other day, he had a cigarette in his mouth. And Pastor McGovern said, no, you didn't see Pastor Roach. He said, I did, I'm telling you. He said, no, it was a pencil or something. And Pastor McGovern, he said, no, it wasn't a cigarette. Well, he saw a cigarette in my mouth, I mean, for sure and certain, but it was on a mercenary to missionary track. I'm sitting there on in a track back, I mean, years before I ever understood salvation, but just the thought. Now, what do? You're the assistant pastor of an independent Baptist church. Someone has accused the pastor of doing, well, and Brother Jordan, you know, that was good, but anyway. So I've got to make Jesus the God of my life. If He's God of my life, He'll be the guard of my life. And folks, listen, we need the blessing of God. We need the favor of God on us, and we need His divine protection. You know, Betty and I pray every day for President Trump, Vice President Pence, that God will shield them with divine protection, with divine wisdom. Let's just imagine Lev Humphrey's president of the United States now. I mean, that wouldn't last very long. He'd be the president, I'll be the vice president. It's not going to go anywhere. Pastor McGovern would be the Secretary of Defense. He's got his black glove on ready to push the button on. Shoot them, nuke them till they glow and shoot them in the dark. That's what Pastor Duffett said. But is Jesus the God of your life, the God of your eyes, the God of your tongue? You know, you go back through the Bible, and everyone that got in trouble is because Jesus Christ is not the God of their life. He's not the God of their life. Now, I've got to finish this thing here. You know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. But we need to seriously ask ourselves, is Jesus Christ God of my life? My thinking, my eyes, my ears, my tongue? Is He the God of your hands? He's God of your life. He's God of your whole life. You know, the only hands that Jesus has today is right here. On this earth, your hands. Is Jesus the God of your feet? How many gospel tracts was delivered with your hands, with your feet this week? How many people heard the gospel because of your tongue? How many people were prayed for because you saw they got a need. They need to be saved. Folks, listen. We need revival. We all get down. We all get discouraged. And listen, when Jesus becomes the God of your life, the joy comes back. The power comes back. When He becomes God of your life again. Now, from the day you got saved, He's been the God of your salvation. You know, a lot of teenagers got saved when they're in their teen years or even before. But then, somewhere in their teen years, Jesus Christ stopped becoming He was no longer the God of their life. So now you become a saved teenager, but you're out of control. And a lot of lives have been wrecked and ruined. But a lot of teenagers got saved. Jesus became God of their life. And you know what happened? I think of one teenage boy that had problems and issues, but Jesus, he got saved, and Jesus was the God, became God of his life. He's pastor of the church tonight. Pastor McGovern. Listen, has Pastor McGovern lived a perfect life? No. I know about Pastor McGovern. Say, how you know? Because he's made the same stuff I'm made of. But in my teen years, I didn't have a clue about the God of salvation. I didn't have a clue about the God of my life. My life, that Satan was the God of my life. My teen years didn't go good. In and out of jail, I mean, my life was a wreck. But when I got saved, now I used to think it was funny to give little kids beer and watch them stagger around. When I got saved and I realized what's going on and I realized what the devil's done to me, I'm just violently mad when I think about someone doing something like that to a child. And I want Jesus Christ to be God of my life. I want him to be God of my life. And he wants all of you. He wants all of you. You know, God has a purpose for every one of us. He's got a purpose for your hands, your feet, your eyes, your brain. When I went to Bible college, my brain was so fried from alcohol and tobacco and just sin. I couldn't read hardly. I mean, my life was a mess. And I used to think, you know, Jesus can never use someone like me. I mean, there's other guys come to Bible college, and God can use them because he's been the God of their life. And now they're just learning and adding on. But he can't use anyone like me. But he did. He did. Now, this is 43 years later. But I understand that he did. And I understand that he can. Is Jesus God of your salvation? Is Jesus God of your life? Deuteronomy 30:20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Jesus, the God of your salvation. If not, you need to get saved tonight. If you are saved, is Jesus the God of your life? Is he the God of your life? You accept Christ as God of your salvation. You do that once forever. But you must make him God of your life every day. I believe this is what Paul meant when he said, I die daily. Lord, I ask you to have your will and way in our hearts and lives, and Lord, continue, I pray, to bless the preaching tonight, meet every need in Jesus' name.